Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to the House of Pod.
I'm Kaveh. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. I am the host of this medical podcast. This is going to be a hell of an episode for you people. I can't believe you guys get this for free because the guests we're going to have, let's start with you, Dr. Tyler Black, suicidologist. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Your team is the Lakers. That's your favorite basketball team. We've discussed this on the show a lot. You've come to this interview with a big Lakers backdrop, knowing full well that the Lakers are currently destroying, and by the time this has aired, probably have destroyed my beloved Warriors. And you've done it to throw me. You've done it to get into my headspace, like Rick Fox to Doug Christie in the 2003 playoffs. You're trying to fuck with my head. And I'm going to be honest, it's working, but I'm glad you're here. Nonetheless, joining us also, we have Will Poole, otherwise known on the internet as Christy Yamaguchi Main. So glad to have you back. World-class shit poster, all around mensch.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic guy. Host of Jorts Pod, one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to. Thank you for coming back, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm definitely the smartest guy on this podcast this evening. So, you know, I feel I'm in good company. Thank you for having me.
I know the joke there is you're like, the rest of you guys are doctors and I'm not a doctor, but I think by the time this episode is finished, you're going to leave being like, oh yeah, it's not that hard.
Okay. Well, that's good. Wow. Okay.
If COVID hasn't taught you that, then I don't know.
That's true. Well, I have not studied to be a doctor, nor have I done my own research. So, you know, I feel like those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. you either do one or the other, and I have done neither. So I just trust you three fellas.
Well, I mean, that's what I do too. I mean, I don't know everything, but I find the smartest people I can find. And then I listen to what they have to say. And that's kind of my job on this show too. And speaking of smart people, joining us also, we have Dr. Ryan Marino, toxicologist, ER doctor, YouTubist. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Favorite people. So,
yeah, thank you, man. It's good to see you too. What we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about conservative panic about a couple of topics, homosexuality and some LGBTQ issues. And I think how I will start this is by playing for everyone here the clip that I saw on Twitter that prompted this episode. We all saw it, and we all, I think, had a nice little chuckle about it online. And we were like, you know, we should probably discuss this. So I'm going to play a clip now from someone named Tudor Dixon. Were you guys familiar with this person before I play it?
She ran for a political office in Michigan right?
Yes, that's exactly right. She was the top of the ticket in the battleground state, by the way. Right.
And she has a name that sounds like 15th century English royalty. Like that's that's the only, like, she might as well be the, you know, Renaissance painter, you know?
Oh, like, yeah. Tudor Dixon's, I'm not gonna lie, I think it's a pretty cool name. It's like the name of like a good alt country band, right?
For sure. I'm not taking you seriously if you tell me that's your name. Yeah. It's a cool name,
right?
But I'm not
right.
taking your expertise in anything seriously.
Well, and you certainly shouldn't when it comes to her giving medical advice. So she is a failed politician. You mentioned that she lost to Gretchen Whitmer, and she's become like this culture war podcaster. And so she had this clip posted on her podcast with her and a guest, Buyins Yako, about the hypersexualization of children. So let's hear them talking right now. Okay, let's stop there. I'm very impressed by the way how well you guys managed to not cut in on that.
Well, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, yeah. Son of a bitch. Oh, you guys are waiting so patiently.
I was like, shit, I must be the only one. I'm just going to fake it. And then I'm like, and now I see like Tyler slowly look around like, I don't think I'm hearing anything either.
I'm keeping this in absolutely.
Well, you got to listen to it twice. So this will be really good for your mental health.
All right. Yeah, actually, why don't you try sharing your screen, Tyler? Can you try that? If I send
just
it to you?
Give me the link first and all.
Yeah.
All right. So just play the whole thing?
Yeah, please.
To sex pre-puberty, even just in conversation. Do you know, Tudor, our tests have shown this, and Kinsley did this. Alfred Kinsey did this with the Kinsey Institute, and he knew how effective this would be. If you mention a particular sexual act to a child, pre-puberty, a child that had not been exposed to it, immediately by hearing the words, the brain starts producing a hormone. The brain starts firing neurons that was supposed to be dormant until puberty. The brain is now starting to create a demand for that particular dopamine effect. So they know what they're doing. They know in the classroom, if they talk to a five-year-old about masturbation, that the child is going to explore it.
So my first question for you, Dr. Tyler Black, we can listen to more of that, but I think that's probably gives us the gist of it, and any more might make my head explode. The gist of this is that just hearing the words, he says, can change and alter a child's biochemistry. Yeah. And I'm interested, what do you think, what kind of hormones might be produced or changed by the words Dirty Sanchez? What?
Well, the most incredible thing about that clip, I mean, aside from it all being scientifically garbage, is how it co-opts so many different pieces of garbage. For example, when everybody talks about their dopamine hit, they imagine that our brains have like a dopamine for sex words, and then I got my hit for that, so therefore I need my, like, neurotransmitters are not that specific. So it's already just completely co-opting this dopamine reward pathway science into total bullshit. And then on top of that, it's going directly against the evidence we have about education towards children, which is, in fact, as children have heard more and more and more and more about sex and safe sex and how to recognize abuse and how to help each other and all these types of things, we've seen rates of young children engaged in sex decreasing, not increasing. Huh. In fact, the more education you give kids, the better decisions they make. Kids who don't have education are the ones that are more at risk for increased risky behavior. So it's just really frustrating to hear that clip from beginning to end.
There's a lot of interesting things you said there. One thing that you had mentioned was that the rates of sex are decreasing in youth here. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think about the educational aspect of it. I just assumed it's because porn was so much more readily available than it was for our generation. You know, like, is that not a part of it? Or is it, you think, truly only the educational aspect?
Well, in studies where we can actually look at the effect of education on a behavior, so these would be studies in which cohorts are either taught something or not taught something, we do see decrease in risk behavior. But the overall trends of decreasing, it could be due to lots of things. You know, the number of friends that people have is decreasing over time. The number of kids that are just unattended is definitely decreasing over time. So there could be lots of reasons for the decrease in rates, but there's nothing to suggest that as we've added sex education, kids have engaged in more sex. There's nothing to suggest that whatsoever. And the dopamine thing is just complete garbage. That's complete psychiatric hogwash. That person is unqualified to speak about this. They have no idea about what dopamine does, and he should just get dopamine right out of his mouth.
I feel like the dopamine is a good red flag for these things, because people love to talk about it. I mean, they're the Huberman podcast, all of that, it's about modifying your dopamine, and they don't actually describe anything realistically or accurately. And this guy, Jaco Bunyans, is just a Christian filmmaker. So I'm not sure like why he thinks he's the expert on this topic, but it's interesting that he's literally just selling a product.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Dopamine is one of those red flag words, like ancestral, ancient, like, you know, those are we talked about this before, those are the grifter words, because it sounds so like scientific, right, Will? I mean, what do you, like, as a lay person, as a sweet, sweet lay man, when you hear this, what are your thoughts? Are you picking up something?
Similar to the episode where we talked about coffee enemas and whatnot and all the grifter language, the grifter delivery. First of all, like, the topic is kids. I know it's super, super popular on the right. I mean, not popular. It's all they talk about because it is one of the most visceral subjects you can discuss and get people worked up about. So just, you know, this is justification for the laws that the conservatives and right wing are trying to pass in states where they don't want you to discuss any of this, because if a teacher even says that they might have a same-sex partner at home in the most passing way, then chemicals are going to start leaking into the kids' brains, and you're going to have a Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze situation where they morph into like Bebop or Rocksteady or Super Shredder, and they just become like sexual, you know, monsters, or, you know, whatever the hell the logic is there. It's just, I mean, first of all, he's talking to Tudor Dixon, and again, I don't trust that name at all. But he's hitting all of the grifter bingo cards, or, you know, yeah, on his board there. For sure.
Absolutely. That's coming from a guy, I think it's important. Yamaguchi, man.
It's important though in this context, talking to Tudor Dixon. Tudor Dixon lost pretty spectacularly. Like, these are not popular takes that these people have.
No. Yeah, like this is the thing now, right? Like, you barely even run for office to win anymore. It's just so you can spin it into a right-wing conservative media, you know, like, join up that sphere and make way more money than you ever could in politics. That's that's part of the grift.
Just a pause on how to do critically thinking about this. I want everybody to imagine the type of study that would be necessary to prove that five-year-olds had an increased leaking of their dopamine because of the mention of a word in passing, right, a sexual word in passing. You would have to get a randomized trial through ethics where we told dirty words to five-year-olds and then somehow invaded their brains, I'm guessing some kind of biopsy or punch or something like that, to measure the direct amount of dopamine in their brains. Like, when people talk about science, I always say, try to imagine the experiment that would show that. And it's just absolutely ludicrous.
Right. But to be fair, like, I feel like there are plenty of medical facilities in the underground tunnels beneath Washington, D.C., New York City, like all L.A., of course, Hollywood, that would be capable of doing these stuff. They already have the children down there, right?
FEMA camps.
Exactly. Like, I feel like all of the pieces are there to probably do an ethical study like this.
Let me ask then, I mean, if I'm going to try to be fair about this. Have they ever, to your guys' knowledge or memory, ever said anything similar to this about beauty pageants, like regular old-fashioned kitty beauty pageants that are kind of, they're not huge here on the West Coast, but I have seen enough reality TV to tell me that other parts of the country, they are. I mean, is this something that people are worried about? Because is that something you grew up with, Will?
It's not something I grew up with, like witnessing per se. I didn't have any sisters or close, cousins or anything in this area that would have participated in it. I did have a high school girlfriend that participated in a pageant, and I helped her practice her talent portion where she sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And this was in like 10th grade, I think, 10th or 11th grade. Oh, and so at the competition, there was the younger, they do them by age groups, of course. And so I saw one of these pageants firsthand. And if you look at it in with just the slightest bit of objectivity, you very quickly, it like sends shudders, like chills down your spine type of situation where it is as creepy as you think it is. It's
terrifying. It's weird to see that much makeup on a child. I don't know. I mean, if something's going to mess up a kid's brain, I think it's going to be something like a beauty pageant, but I don't know. What do I know? Maybe those kids seem to be relatively okay, I guess. Unrelated topic. Are kids entering puberty earlier? And if so, do we have any sense of why that is?
Age of sort of the onset of puberty has been generally declining, going back to probably the 1850s. One can assume that nutrition and health generally have impacted that quite a bit. One of the most known ways to study this is studying the average age of the onset of puberty, or the term we call menarche in medicine. And what was once in the 16s or 17s in the 1800s has slowly decreased to 12 or 11 or so.
I am familiar with that term monarchy. That's what King Charles just.
Yes,
that's the monarchy. Okay, gotcha.
The slope is really quite a bit slower in the from the 60s onwards. So there is still a general trend towards decrease, but it's nothing like what we saw with the boom of nutrition and health in the 1840s to the 1950s. So one of the things this brings up for me quite a bit is how frequently politically, especially on the right, they're going to invoke children, the prevention or the protection of children, when they don't actually care about children, and I don't mean that in a some don't, some do. They're using children as a way to exploit other people's care about children for their own political gain. So, Ryan's very familiar with this, how drug use is used as a boogeyman again, and they use drug use, and then it always kind of translates into, but what could happen to children if they are exposed or these types of things? And yet continuously throughout the last 20 years, we've seen general decreasing trends in the types of things that they're boogeymanning, like drug use and early sex and teen pregnancy and abortion in youth and all sorts of things like this. You know, it's very common for someone to evoke, what happens if a 13-year-old asks for an abortion? And in an argument that's really not there to care about those children at all. It's there to advance their political narrative. And it's very frustrating. We all know what is driving the right, narrative on trans issues and whether it's abortion issues, but this is religious intrusion. And they're using fears about children as a substitute for this offends my religion. And that's very frustrating.
And at the same time, these are probably the same politicians who are trying to get younger children to be able to work again, rolling back school lunches and all of these other programs. And one thing that Tyler brought up that I just want to repeat is abstinence only education, not teaching people about these topics, does not work. That is well studied. That does not reduce rates of sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy, drug use, overdoses, any of that stuff. And so, that's one area where I have a lot of overlap in talking to people, because they're always like, well, why would you want kids to know about drugs? You're teaching them how to use drugs. And it's very similar to sex education, in that if you don't teach someone, their risks are going to be probably increased, but never decreased.
It's all facets of the same plan that they've had going back since the kind of modern, or the, you know, the modern version of the American education system, whether it's rock and roll, you know, distorting kids' minds, whether it's heavy metal in the 80s, right, where, you know, just kids being more open to discussing things like suicidal ideation and stuff, you know. Well, it's the heavy metal that's causing that, and we're, you know, we don't want to allow our kids to explore those topics. Or then, you know, more recently there's like CRT, there's gay panic. That, yeah, I mean, there was gay panic when I was in school. I'm sure there was, yeah. when y'all were in school as well. There's just these like crazy, these wild rumors and urban legends that would circulate constantly. And it all of these topics, they were constantly, they orbited around subject matter like drugs, like sexual orientation, like music, that it was always twisted. These topics were always twisted to discuss, you know, talk about how they were ruining today's youth. And this is just another aspect of that, you know, like this, yeah, is just another extension of that, right, that progress.
Is it, I think it's just like anger is the best, anger and fear are great motivators for politicians. And, you know, as parents, you know, just the thought of something harming your kid in either way, physically or mentally, is the kind of thing that pushes you to do things, to vote certain ways, to actually make actions that get you off your butt. Those are things that can bring voters out. The more you can freak people out about that sort of stuff, it is really smart using kids that way. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's a smart tactic to do it.
Only place it doesn't seem to work is guns, though, right?
Yeah.
the one
well, that's
place
how you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly, that gives away gives it up right there. It shows for them to be the frauds that they are, when you want to discuss the one thing that is killing kids left and right when they go to school. Do anything about
it. It is funny just seeing how they shift, how this argument's constantly shifting to the point where they're just like giving up. Like, yeah, the right would at first be like, you know, it's too soon to talk about it. Then it just happening so much, they couldn't say that anymore. Right. You know, the whole like, it's too soon to talk about it, wait till it goes away and then people forget about it. That doesn't happen anymore because it's constantly happening. And then it was, you know, it's mental health, maybe, you know, but then everyone's like, well, you also cut all the mental health services for youth, and you're the one fighting against you and all these other Republicans. So that's kind of gone away. And now you just straight up see them just being like, you can't do anything about it. Yeah. We can't live in fear.
Well, and the flip-flopping is incredible because, you know, one of the commonest things to use to defend gun rights by the right is, it's in the Constitution and it's an individual's right. And yet the very thing they're trying to do when it comes to all of these health issues is say, you don't have the right to be the person you want to do, to select your own medical treatment, to love who you want to love, to do what you want to do. They're basically saying, I want this right totally protected, but all the other rights, I don't care about your individual rights. It should be a matter of the government. And so there's that, whenever you see a politician inconsistently use an ideology like that, you know that it's not about that thing. And that's why it really frustrates me. It's really sad to see. You know, I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist. I know, Ryan, you work in the emergency department. I routinely encounter kids who, especially lately, one of their main stresses is how they are being portrayed and perceived by other people. Like they're taking on these social fights, they're taking on these social blows. I've had kids who are trans tell me, like, talk to me specifically. I'm in Vancouver, BC, Canada, and talk to me about what Trump said about them or what Ron DeSantis said about them. You know, and this is, it sounds so esoteric, it's just a political point, but this is actually making kids who are already vulnerable suffer more, and it's very frustrating.
Well, speaking of Ron DeSantis, let's talk about the Don't Say Gay bill, as it's called, formerly known as the Parental Rights and Education Bill. And since that time, pretty much everyone calls it the Don't Say Gay bill. And the text of the legislation states the classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through third grade or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards in other grades. Pretty vague wording, but basically what it did is it gave states the right, or the parents the right, that they could bring an action against the school district to obtain a declaratory judgment and award money and fees if they feel like the school violated that measure. That was put through last year, and the plan now is all school districts in Florida have to be required to update that by June of this year. Let me start by talking about this bill, because it's happening now. We heard about it a year ago, but now it's going through, and the schools are making that change. What harm do you think this bill could cause? Ryan, I'll start with you. Like, what are the potential harms you see? And I'm sure there's many.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. It's just so ludicrous of a concept in the first place. And I mean, one of the most telling things for me is that if you bring up any of these criticisms of it, like, the only response I ever seem to hear is that, oh, the bill doesn't actually have the word gay in it, so you can't call it the Don't Say Gay bill. But I mean, like, the subtext is right there. So I mean, kids are not going to feel safe in schools. Their schools are not going to have good education. I think one of the things we've seen over the past several decades is that kind of telling teachers what they have to do and setting all of these ridiculous requirements has made education in this country a lot worse. So you definitely have that to start with, in addition to kind of the more bigoted parts as well. And I think just recently Florida also passed made it through the legislature some bill to take children who receive gender affirming care away from their parents. So I mean, like, these are the downstream effects, and this bill has been like replicated in a bunch of other states. They're trying to do it in the U.S. Congress. So I'll let the other people speak to it. But yeah, it's not good. There's no good that I see coming from this. I don't really understand what the justification could possibly be.
Tyler, let me ask you this. What are the potential harms that learning about transgenderism could cause, or homosexuality could cause? What are the proposed mechanism of harm? Are they saying that this could make the kids gay or transgender just by learning about it?
I mean, the arguments are always, again, about protecting children, but I would just really encourage people to listen to what kids are saying. You know, I've been in practice, clinical practice now for almost 15 years. And, you know, I used to start asking, like, tell me a little bit about your girlfriend. And as I've learned how to be more inclusive and all that, I've said things like, tell me about any romantic interests you have. And I say things in a very sort of non-directive way. And I have watched the development over time of kids who are so unbothered by this, and yet their families and their parents are so bothered by it. Like, the nonchalance with which a child in 2023 will say, oh yeah, my friend is trans, or my friend goes by she, her pronouns, and then just honor those pronouns. It's so a nonchalant nothing to them, and they're not harmed in any way. All of this talk often comes to social spreading. Like, if more and more kids are talking about being gay or being trans, then it'll lead to more kids being trans. And I'll put a quick pause in that. But I'll first say that probably, you know, it is more than likely that if you knew someone who is trans, you might think a little bit more about trans issues. But the second thing about that is, so what? Like, who cares what identity a person has with respect to what they enjoy, what they like, what they want? If someone thinks or feels like they're trans, I still don't understand what the harm is, aside from the fact that maybe they may dress a certain way, or they may ask someone else to respect them with a pronoun, or like, I don't see what the harms are. But of course, to the religious right, there is a huge harm, because this goes against the sanctity of what God wants. Or for someone who is bigoted, they believe that trans people are more likely to be sexual abusers, when that is absolutely not true, or that homosexual people are more likely to be sexual abusers, which is absolutely not true. The vast majority of child sexual abuse occurs by heterosexual people. In fact, it mostly occurs by family members of the person who's sexually abused. And so it's so frustrating.
I've pissed many coworkers off by telling them if they actually wanted to combat sexual assaults on children, they need to make it illegal for male family members to be alone in the room with them. And of course, they don't want to hear that. They get very mad at me when I say that because of how absurd that sounds. However, if you actually want to statistically decrease incidents of that happening, that's absolutely what should be made illegal.
There's never any talk from these same people about the tens of thousands of covered up sexual abuse cases within the Christian churches either. So I mean,
that's inconvenient, Ryan. Why would they bring that up, bro? Come on,
Ryan. What are you talking about?
I wanted to say something about that law in Florida. The design of that law, while it is, Tyler, you're right, absolutely, this is all rooted in evangelical Christianity for the most part. One of the primary functions of that law, and it gives it away in it, is the ability for parents to literally just complain about something that they disagree with.
Right.
And then the school district is on the hook financially what did it say, Kaveh?
It said for awards and damages. I mean, okay, that's really vague. It means like, financial reward, basically. Yeah.
So essentially, you're going to get principals and superintendents of school districts that are deathly afraid of their budgets getting eaten up by parents complaining about literally anything. Yeah. Because it says, like, what does it say, K through third, but then also if you deem it inappropriate. Yeah. So right. At 15 years old, if you have if your kid is 15 and you're just an angry at the world, you know, I'd say right wing dipshit.
White dude, you're gonna say white. It's okay.
Yeah, you're Florida
man. Ryan and Tyler won't take any offense. They understand that they're white. They get it. They're sorry. It's okay.
And you're mad about something. The slightest, you can just get creative with your complaint, right? And then you're costing the school district. And the ultimate goal here is to destroy the public school system, you know, whether it comes to like charter schools, school choice, you know, that whole movement, the Betsy DeVos crowd. That is the ultimate goal here. And it's just one more mechanism in which they have passed to chip away at all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Another way of just crippling the public school system, then watching them fail and then saying how bad it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
You know, it's so funny to me, this whole thing between Ron DeSantis and Disney. It's like, you know that if you're having a fight between Disney and Ron DeSantis, you know how bad you have to be for me to be rooting for Disney as the less regressive option in that battle? Those racist bastards put me through Aladdin when I was younger. Like, like it's hilarious to me that I'm rooting for Disney in this battle. And this is, but it's a fun, I don't know if you guys know the whole story. I'll give you the very brief detail of it, because basically, they have this new CEO at Disney, Bob Chapek, I think. He took over for Iger. And there was, when this bill first came out, there was a lot of people who worked at Disney who were like, this sucks. We live here. We're LGBTQ friendly, or that's our community. And they fought for him to do something. He didn't want to touch it. He's like, I don't want to be a political football, I think was the term he used in his memo to them. But then basically they got so mad, the employees, they staged the walkout and they started pushing and applying real pressure to the point where he had to reverse his opinion on it. Now, that reversal of the opinion really pissed off Ron DeSantis. That was the thing that did it, because he thought he was caving to some woke mind virus or whatever, you know, and that's what started off this war with them going back and forth. The funny thing to me is, you know, if he had stuck to his guns, that he probably would have been okay. I mean, Disney would suck, but they probably would be fine. And they're actually doing okay right now. Their lawyers are battling with Ron DeSantis, and they're still doing fine. They've actually been able to it's a very interesting political battle, but that, you know, they're very savvy, smart lawyers. They're doing a great, they're doing well against him. But the thing is, this CEO, if he had come out as a principal stance, I think in the beginning, and he didn't look like he was being wishy-washy, I feel like he probably would have done better overall. He was going to give in eventually anyways, but not because of it. He looks like he has no power, no authority. And so he, I think, is already out. I think Bob Iger is back in now because of that. But it shows you that, like, people can have an effect. Like, the people that work there, the people that live in these places, they do care. You know, we here in the West Coast, we want to write off people a lot. Like, we want to say, that's Texas, you know, fucking, what can you do? That's what they want. Florida, that's what they want. But there are people there that are fighting and pushing and actually getting things done. I think it's really important that to highlight the I think the success of the
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That community within Disney, but anyways, fuck Disney still, nonetheless. along these lines, I think something to discuss is the Loudoun County Public School bathroom fiasco. Solomon Mirza had recommended us looking into this, and so Will, you're closer to that neck of the woods than I am. I don't know if you had heard about it before this, but can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah. So the basically the piece I was reading about it was about this grand jury investigation and what they uncovered in the Loudoun County school system, which honestly, it's a very tragic situation. What happened? It says I'll just read from this right here. The grand jury was impaneled in April at the request of Attorney General Jason Meares to investigate the school division's handling of a sexual assault scandal in which a student charged with sexually assaulting a girl at Stonebridge High School in May 2021 was then transferred to Broad Run High School, where he assaulted another girl in October 2021. The investigation was requested by Glenn Youngkin, first day in office. So those are the facts of the matter. Basically, right. There were two sexual assaults in bathrooms in the Loudoun County school system. What then happened afterwards, because of one of the victim's fathers, he essentially accused the school system of, because they had a policy in place that allowed transgender students to use the bathroom of their choosing, basically transgender safe bathrooms, he accused them of having what ended up in Facebook right wing meme circles as rape rooms, I believe, or rape bathrooms. I'm sure it went by all sorts of colorful names.
So just a couple of points there. This is in Virginia, right? Loudoun County?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the one of the key features to this story of this perpetrator of sexual assault, this person that was arrested twice, was that he was someone who was wearing a dress. It's not clear to me if he even how he characterized himself or how he wanted to be seen, if he was transgender or not. That part of it I still don't understand. But that fact, I think, was a key point in this argument that was like red meat for like the right wing crowd.
So I've read that he was wearing a skirt, and then I've read that it was actually a kilt. So I'm not sure what these specifics actually are. If you know, kilt is close enough for the people that want to run with this that they're going to hold it up as proof. You know, a few years ago with all the bathroom laws and stuff, the bathroom bills, North Carolina went through one where we were threatened to lose the NBA All-Star game, and we, like, our local legislature backed down and didn't actually pass one. This is basically, for them, this was proof of this policy allowing for sexual predators to have their way with their daughters in the bathroom. What it seems like to me, what I could find on it, was this was just a very clearly disturbed young man. A predator. I know we're talking about I think his age was 15 as well, I believe, if I read that correctly. Clearly a young man with issues, and it's a very serious thing. And also I want to point out, like, the fact that this grand jury found that essentially the teachers and the administrators at the first school acted in self-interest, or actually at the second school, there's a breakdown in communication, and they acted in self-interest. They wanted to protect themselves. So instead of handling it properly, instead of going through the proper procedure after the first assault took place, they didn't do those things because of the policy that they had in place. They were afraid of this turning into something bigger than it was, and them, by them protecting themselves, this provided the situation for this young man to assault someone else.
God, it's such a fucked up, like, cycle of shit that happens where something really bad happens to a woman. It's usually a woman. Something bad happens, then the right uses that to help further some other point that they have to make. The people, whether they be politically aligned in one way or the other, then freak out about that, and then they respond in a way that gives the right even more, like, to cling to because of that. You know, that article, there's an article in the New York Times about this, and there's a part here I'll read from it, talking about how maybe things weren't exactly as they were depicted. But this week, during a juvenile court hearing, a fuller picture of Smith's daughter's ordeal, that's the gentleman, the father that was really angry and started this, emerged. She suffered something atrocious. It had nothing at all, however, to do with trans bathroom policies. Instead, like many women and girls, she was a victim of relationship violence. Smith's daughter testified that she had previously had two consensual sexual encounters with her attacker in the school bathroom. On the day of the assault, they had agreed to meet up again. The evidence was that the girl chose the bathroom, but her intent was to talk to him and not to engage in sexual relations. And then, of course, he assaults her. I mean, at the end of the day, awful thing happened to this poor girl, and that not too much changes in that. But to use this tragic thing as a way to fight the trans issue and as a way to put confusion into the trans bathroom situation is pretty despicable and effective. It's totally effective, I think. Because I'm sure people only remember the trans rape in that bathroom, and none of the other parts that came out after it are no.
Yeah, it's another example where someone is trying to find somewhere to lay the blame besides the fact that this young man committed this assault. Like, he should be blamed for what happened.
Yeah.
It is all on the assaulter in the situation, the perpetrator. Yet the blame of parents wanting to essentially, you know, kind of allow for some wiggle room there. Like, it's transgender affirming policies that are the reason my daughter was sexually assaulted in the bathroom. It's like, no, she was assaulted in the bathroom because he did this. You know, he committed this really, really awful act. It has echoes of the idea of rape culture of, you know, well, what was she wearing
right
type of situation.
Yeah. But now it's like, what was he wearing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and also I should note that the rape occurred about 2 months before that school's policies about trans inclusionary bathrooms went into place. That has to do with it. But what also is interesting is now that the same area, so Loudoun County, there is now this new like controversy that Fox News has picked up on and right-wing talking points are about, which is the fact that they're changing the bathrooms. So they are piloting a new program in Loudoun County. It's going to be about $11 million, so it's hefty, to pilot a new bathroom program where it'll be basically mixed-use bathrooms. So what that means is private stalls with floor-to-ceiling stalls where you use the toilet, and then you come out into a mixed, like, hand-washing area. You guys have seen that, right? That's kind of, like, popular in bars now and stuff. You guys... So... And people are freaking out about that. They're saying this is going to expose people. Of course, the truth of it is the everyone's worried that now there's going to lead to rapes in these bathrooms because of it, or there's going to be exposure because of it. But they're not getting rid of the other bathrooms. The students still have the option for the traditional boys' room, girls' room. But I guess I'll start. I want to ask you, Tyler, like, do you feel like that a mixed bathroom use like that, do you feel like that is bizarre? Or do you feel like that's just a natural progression of things? It is a little bit more trans inclusionary because everyone can go into it. They use the toilet, they come out, they wash their hands. Is this the future of things?
I mean, it should be. I mean, the commonest place for people to go to the bathroom is at home, which is a mixed use bathroom. And again, I'll point out that in terms of worried about sexual abuse of children, that generally occurs at the home. So if anything, we should have mixed bathrooms in, we should have separated bathrooms at home, because sort of similar to the point that was being made earlier. It's you go to a restaurant that only has one bathroom, it's mixed use. You go to, you know, having something that's gender inclusive does not in any way harm people. It is a non-judgmental option for people. That's all it is. And for, you know, the only thing that I think about is like, man, a lot of guys aren't going to lift the toilet seat to pee. That's what I think about those.
It's true. It's going to be hardest on the women for that reason. That's probably true. Ryan, would high school age Ryan feel comfortable taking a massive deuce in a bathroom that's shared use around both boys and girls? Would high school age Ryan be okay with that?
I didn't go to the bathroom at school in high school because I thought they were gross. So I forced myself to hold it all day, which was a really weird thing to do. But I feel like it would actually seem safer to me to have more people in the space. Like, if something bad happened, I could call out to the more people. I don't know. It just, yeah, like Tyler said, I mean, most bathroom use is a gender neutral bathroom that you use at home. So it's just weird that they freak out about these things. And like, trans people are less than 1% of the population. So you're not going to be running into them every time you go to the bathroom. Even if you have some sort of issue, it's just bizarre to be obsessed with that.
What's my understanding, just from watching as much conservative media as I do, that trans people are actually waiting for me around every corner. to turn me gay, to try to make out with me. Just any number of things.
Oh, that you know, part like makes that's, sense.
They're hiding in the toilets. They're like, they like,
ghoulies.
They're just pop out. Everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere, right?
That was a deep 1980s reference for like the three listeners who may catch the Ghoulies reference. You're welcome.
So I have three boys and a foster son that have all come up through the school system right around the corner from my house. And again, we were just talking about, Tyler, you were talking about just how progressive kids have gotten and how they are so, so unbothered, the majority of them, by any of these topics whatsoever. And it's been remarkable to see. I feel like when I was graduating high school, you still, like, I had a couple of classmates that were married at the age of 16 years old, that I went to high school with. And the, you know, it's more common in the South to see that. We have some very strange, you know, for states that like to claim they like protecting children. They have some very, very, very bizarre backwards ass, marriage laws about, you know, what you can do with your parents', signature and stuff. But anyway, point being, it felt like we were getting a little progressive, when I was coming up through high school, but It is nothing. It was like the Dark Ages compared to what my boys have just experienced. And I'll talk with them about some of these issues from time to time. And I can kind of see the look on their face of them having never considered that this, like, a lot of these topics are even an issue. Like, it's never crossed their mind that it would bother anyone that someone decided to, you know, have different pronouns or, you know, be non-binary or be trans or, you know, whatever you're talking about. Yeah. And it's, you know, it warms my heart. It brings a tear to my eye because it makes me feel good that, you know, I've just tried to instill them. It almost doesn't matter what else you do in life as long as you're just kind to other people. That's it. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm here in San Francisco, and one of my sons is, one of his close friends is, his has two moms, and they got divorced. So he now has four moms total. And he was able to break it down for me really nonchalantly. It wasn't a weird thing at all. Yeah. He was telling me everyone's name, so I knew who was who. And it was like, it wasn't like a thing that they worried about. And I don't think they're going to make my kids a lesbian. So I'm not like worried about it, you know?
One thing, poor kid, the number of moms he's going to have to call on like, you know how your mom already guilt you for not calling her and stuff? Now he's got four times as much of that. That's wild.
Yeah, but we can all agree that moms are always better than dads. So, I mean,
I'd agree with that.
An advantage there. You know, I think the bathroom thing is great. Although, if I'm being totally honest, high school Kaveh would probably find a bathroom where girls weren't around to go drop a massive dump in.
I'm pooping in that bathroom. Yeah, absolutely no way.
I barely poop. Yeah. It's a pee bathroom. Exactly. I'll pee in there like crazy. I'm not gonna poop in there. But I'm still kind of like that. I don't know. Anyways, okay. So let's move on to another topic: story time. So I want to talk about drag queen story hours, and in particular, how it relates to this concept of, or the accusations of grooming from people on the right, and what grooming really is. So just a little bit about it. So it started not that long ago, maybe 10 years ago here in San Francisco. Michelle T, a queer author, artist, she couldn't find a lot of like kid-friendly LGBTQ books, and she wanted to expose her children to some writing, some good work. And so basically she'd helped create this thing, which has taken off, and I think you see it all over the place. This has been, of course, a major talking point for the right, and it's gone beyond that. It's attracting attention of these right-wing extremists and like the Proud Boys, who have stormed into productions from everywhere, from San Francisco to New York. Tucker Carlson, Ryan's good friend, he said that drag queen story hours indoctrinate and sexualize children. It's become like a very mainstream fight for them. And lawmakers in over 14 states have proposed laws to outlaw drag in public or businesses that might allow someone under the age of 18. And one of the things they always talk about in this last year is grooming, how they think this is grooming. Let's just start, Tyler, can you tell me a little bit about what grooming actually is?
So this is a bummer, and I'm sorry for anyone's listening. This is obviously going to be a really heavy topic, but for the ability to harm children sexually and exploit them, there are some things that are not quite required, but really, really, really will make it easier for the person to do it. And the process of making someone more vulnerable to sexual abuse is what grooming is. Of course, in today's lexicon, and this is really only an online thing, you never hear people in real life yelling out the word groomer, but this is very much an online thing. Now, calling someone a groomer is basically calling them a pedophile. But of course, grooming is an act of pedophilia because it is specifically the act of getting someone more likely to be victimized. Now, grooming can happen in abusive relationships. So for physical violence, interpersonal violence, you can be groomed towards that. And of course, we all know that men who do that to women typically isolate the woman and disconnect them from their family and control their finances and all that. Like, these are things that groom for violence. Now, when it comes to child sexual grooming, again, a real bummer to talk about, but the things that make a child more likely to be sexually abused are well known, well discussed. There used to be dating myself a little bit, but like in 2012, Amazon got in trouble because they were self-publishing, and they had a self-published book that was out there on how to molest children and had grooming steps in it. So it's well known.
First of all, yeah. You think 2012 is dating yourself? Oh, holy shit. Holy shit, man. That was like a week ago for me.
It feels like it. But I mean, the reality is that grooming is definitely a thing that we have to worry about. Like, we have to teach children how to reach out for help instead of allowing other people to isolate them, because isolation is a part of sexual grooming. Preying upon people who are emotionally vulnerable is another great way to you basically play upon their vulnerabilities. And there's other forms of coercion. So these laws, these ideas, and especially when it comes to saying that trans people are grooming children by doing this, we have no evidence of that. In fact, we have the evidence the reverse, there is a lot of sexual abuse that occurs towards trans people, especially when they're growing up. Grooming is not something that we should politicize, except for we need to teach kids how to watch out for signs of in their friends or in other people trying to manipulate them. That's the only way it should be politicized. There's nothing to trans people are more likely to be groomers. When it comes to child sexual abuse, I'll say it over and I'll say it over and I'll say it over. Family members are the most likely people to do it. And there is no relationship between alternate sexuality or gender and being a perpetrator of sexual abuse. There's no relationship. We've never found one.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. It's something that we should discuss. I mean, a lot of this comes from a lot of this on the right, where this idea that there's this link comes from the Family Research Council, which you guys have probably heard about. They produced what they thought was an extensive attempt to document basically a claim between homosexuality and pedophilia. They did this big article called Homosexuality and Child Abuse. It looked super scientific-y. There were 76 footnotes in it. Some of them look like they're from scientific journals, but it was picked apart pretty easily, pretty well. I mean, the references they made were not good. In fact, some of the studies concluded the exact opposite of what they said. And some of them weren't studies at all, but just like opinion pieces that they posed as studies. So it was a junky piece of shit article, but basically that got into sort of the right-wing mindset and laid an egg. And it's been there ever since. And
it seems to be more of a problem like every day, and especially in certain parts of the internet. But it seems like people are less afraid to be like openly bigoted and, I mean, use like slurs and that kind of thing. Whereas before, they would have to be in some like 4chan chat room. And now it's all just out in the open.
Do you think that's
it doesn't reflect what's happening in real life? Like, I think people are actually... The reality is people are becoming more accepting, but because of whatever this like right-wing extremist movement is that's going on. I mean, the like Bud Light boycott is a really good example. They paid a trans person to make a 60-second TikTok that you had to go to their TikTok to watch it. It wasn't like a commercial on TV or anything. And for some reason, every right-wing weirdo was watching that person's TikTok already and found this. And so it was a big problem. So like, I mean, why are they so obsessed with it?
With a it's can just, that you couldn't even it's very bizarre to me. Store. I saw lots of people claim yeah. that they took the American flag off of the can and put Dylan Mulvaney on the can, which is like the obviously horseshit. That did not happen. But
so for our listeners who don't know, Dylan Mulvaney is a very popular TikToker. Has about 10.8 million followers, and she's been documenting her transition online. This whole controversy started April 1st, where she posted that, just like you mentioned, this little like video basically promoting a Bud Light contest. People lose their shit over it, leading to a boycott. This boycott actually has apparently led to some decrease in sales for Bud Light, and actually two executives there have taken a leave of absence because of it. I don't know what that means.
Which, honestly, I said this before about this. What it probably did was just make conservatives, a lot of them, realize they were drinking shit-ass beer. That's why the numbers went down. It's like, well, I'm not going to buy Bud Light this week. I'm going to try something else. And then they try something else, and they're like, oh, shit, man.
A lot better.
Okay, all right, even if they capitulate and apologize and people get fired and they don't ever work with the trans community again, I'm not really going to go back to Bud Light. Why would I?
The funny thing is, so many of these people don't even realize that they're still drinking the same company. Anheuser-Busch makes like 100 different brands of beer. And that you guys see, like, Dan Crenshaw had like this post where he's like showing his fridge and he's like, look at all the beer I have in my manly fridge. You won't see that Bud Light in here. And then someone's like, yeah, but that Carback Brewing Company there is owned by Anheuser-Busch.
It's
so
the same shit. It's the exact same shit.
I think, again, this is one of those examples where Bud Light should have been, they should have learned, they should have done the same thing Disney should have done in the very beginning, which is double down on this. Like, you know, get into it. Be like, hey, we're because they're a company in decline. People aren't like drinking. They'll even admit that before all this. Like, they try to reach out and get more like younger people drinking their stuff, you know. But this could be their opportunity to do that. I'm not gonna lie. I finally have an excuse to say this publicly. I don't mind Bud Light. I'll tell you why. I have a lot of nostalgia for it because when I was playing music and you go to bars, Will, you know this, you don't get the best beer. They'll give you like a bucket of beer in the back, you know, and you'll get like Keystone Light or you'll be like, oh, cool, Bud Light.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So you're like, I have like.
For us, it's PBR and PBR, Miller Genuine Draft.
Yeah. So we're like, you know, I have an affection for it. Now I have a reason to be like, okay, cool. Like, I won't feel bad getting a Bud Light now. You know, I won't feel guilty about it from like my IPA drinking like friend, you know? So, but they didn't. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. Traditionally, I've read that boycotts are generally short lasting and people don't change their long-term behaviors. But getting back to grooming. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Ryan, go ahead.
I think Anheuser-Busch's stock price has not gone down at all. I think it actually like went up slightly since this all started.
The boycott dipped by about like $3 over the course of a week, which it was like trading around, I think like $65 or something. So it was just a normal course, like just normal fluctuations, basically.
Yeah, and these corporations have been trying to profit off of like Pride Month and stuff for years. So it's just funny that all of these weirdos were watching Dylan Mulvaney TikTok channel.
For sure.
Yeah, I wonder why that picked up so much. But getting back to the groomers issue. So Tyler, what actually, if we're going to leave maybe with some advice for parents, what are things to look for in someone being groomed by like, say, like, I don't know, a coach or like somebody out there in the real world?
Yeah. So the recipe to combat is isolation. So you want to make sure you're reaching out to all the kids that you care about and know. You want to be very non-judgmental because, of course, one of the quick ways to make a child feel like they can't talk to someone is make them feel guilty about something that happened. And so regular, explicit, totally transparent messaging about, if anything ever happened to you, I love you more than that thing. Please come talk to me. I will always help you. I know it sounds so hokey to say, but kids do not assume that. Kids assume that they could be in trouble. I've unfortunately worked with many kids who are the victim of sexual abuse, and many of them withheld discussing it because they had a sensation when it was happening that they physically enjoyed it. And they didn't want to get in trouble for what they were doing. And of course, the abuser can manipulate that. So you want to stamp down any isolation. You want to be non-judgmental. Anything you go through, if you're ever needing help, I will help you without getting you in trouble. Without getting you in trouble. Like, I just can't overstate that enough. And instead, we have many parents who give the opposite messaging. You need to get A's. You need to stay away from drugs. I don't want you having sex, no boyfriends, all this type of stuff. And all that does, future parents out there, current parents out there, the only thing that messaging does is make it so they won't tell you if it happens. We have very little control over what happens to our kids, absolutely, but we have so much control over what they can come to us about. And so we want to stamp down isolation. We want to be very non-judgmental in our approach. And we don't want to be making people who are already vulnerable feel like they're more at risk. So if someone's having a tough time with their mental health, if someone's having issues as they're developing their identity or whatever it is, we want to let them know, I'll give you time and space to do this and I'll help you with this. Not, you have to also push through school. You have to also figure out your friend thing. You also have to meet all of my expectations. And so giving our kids a break. But I promise you, that's the recipe for preventing child abuse. And of course, everything socially, and that's within the home. A lot of it has to do as well with poverty, education, all sorts of barriers that require government support to change.
Fantastic. That's a good place to close out on. Let me get some plugs here. Ryan, tell people where they can find you, please.
I normally say one thing, but come find me on YouTube. I don't like the other place.
His YouTube channel is great, people. I really enjoy it. Such great discussion and breakdown, fentanyl stories and myths. I love it, and history as well. Fantastic work. I don't know how I'm going to get on it, but I expect to be on your YouTube channel at some point. Tyler, where can people find you?
Yeah, same thing. I used to always talk about one place that I don't really want to talk about much anymore. I've created hopefully something that people find interesting. I've created a blog at suicidology.substack.com, and I intend on posting lots of information. There's already stuff there on the relationship between suicide in kids and COVID. And I want to lean a little bit less into the controversy of Twitter, which, you know, feeds one billionaire a lot of attention and everything that he wants for, I don't think, any societal benefit. And I want to kind of get back to sort of my roots of just talking about good data and science, especially as it pertains to suicide.
It's a great blog. I've been reading it. So fantastic work. And Will, where can people find you? Where can they listen to you?
You can listen to me and some buddies of mine on Jort Center. That's the podcast I do every week with some lifelong friends of mine. We talk a little bit about everything. It's like kind of hanging out with your buddies at a dive bar each week, except we recorded at 9:30 in the morning. So our brains don't function properly that early.
Instead of being drunk, there's this other twist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, right. We're kind of like sleep deprived. Yeah. And if you're still on the hell site that is Twitter, you can find me at Wapplehouse, WAPPLEHOUSE. Or if you have gotten one of those sweet, sweet Blue Sky invite codes, you can find me on Blue Sky at Wapplehouse as well.
You son of a bitch. You got one?
Yeah, I did.
I got one too.
Tyler, oh, did Black. You? Tyler, you're Tyler Black. Okay. All right. I'm going to go follow you.
I have one too.
What? Hobbit, you're the only one left out?
God damn it. Oh, man. Anyways, if you want to do something for me, because I'm a loser, not on Blue Sky, go to iTunes, rate and review us, please. I appreciate it. I'll read you a new review right now that I really like. This one comes from AAJ Rice, titled A Good Podcast, Not a Bad Podcast. And the body reads, I like this podcast. I do not want Kabe to die. That's how I like my reviews, folks. Keep them coming like that.
Wisdom for the ages.
That's
right
a great one. Anyways, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a physician or other qualified healthcare provider for your specific healthcare needs or concerns. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not represent the opinions of our employees. Details in the podcast have been changed so that patient identification is not possible. And I'm alive.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.